Thank you. Be seated. I'm invited to announce that Justice Gamage will participate in the consideration of these cases he is testifying over before another branch of government. The court is now ready to hear argument from respondents in our communications versus Honorable John Shaw.
May I please report? Respondent will be represented by Mr. William Story.
May it please the court. Your honors, I think clearly the reason we're here today is to distinguish this case, our communications, from the court's two recent opinions in the general land office cases and in the environmental cases, wherein the court held that a prepayment requirement would violate the open courts provision by unreasonably restricting access to the courts. I'd like to accomplish that task by first of all talking about the special nature of taxes. There can be no doubt that taxes are the quintessential sovereign function. And indeed, taxation is the very root of every other governmental function and governmental program, because without the power to tax, it simply would not be possible to achieve any governmental purpose. And so given that we are talking about that extremely important interest, we feel that it's clear that under the test established by the court in the TAB case, that the interest of taxation clearly and fairly requires prepayment before contesting the suit.
Is there any authority for that, counsel, to say that taxes are different? Any jurisdiction is treated taxes different?
Your Honor, I think certainly in the federal model they're treated that way. In the McKesson case, which we cited to you, the court makes a distinction between the due process requirements, which normally requires some sort of hearing before any deprivation of a property right, although in McKesson they clearly point out that taxation is of such a special interest that a post-deprivation remedy will be adequate. And so I think certainly that case stands for that proposition.
Well, you can go to tax court without prepayment, can't you?
I believe that's true. And
if you want to go to district court, you got to prepay. In the federal system here, you can't pay your, you can't go to court at all.
That actually would not be completely correct, Your Honor, and I'd point out that in addition to the protest remedy, which of course is our basic remedy, the tax code does provide for other procedures. In fact, there is a tax injunction procedure in the tax code, and also commonly the taxes could be enforced by a collection suit. And certainly in that sense, this case and the procedures available for taxes would be distinct from the environmental cases.
Under the tax code, you're saying you cannot pay your taxes, and the state can file suit to collect them, and you can raise any defenses you have as a defense.
That's correct. The proceedings require that defenses be raised by sworn denial. There is, of course, a presumption that the controller certificate of liability is correct.
Mr. Is your position, aren't you all involved in some sort of action up in Fort Worth someplace where the city has sued for our communications taxes and you all have joined in that suit?
We had initially filed a counterclaim, Your Honor, when the action was filed. We non-suited that after the district court held there was no jurisdiction for the original suit.
Okay, so what your, well, so I thought you were conceding that they could raise these as defenses in the controller's suit for taxes, and I thought that's what was happening. But you're saying that you urged this in the district court that they couldn't raise the defenses, or what are you?
No, I'm sorry. It is available in a collection suit, in a tax collection suit, to raise your defenses to the tax on the merits. And you have to do so by sworn denial, saying the reasons that you don't owe the tax. Also, under the Court of Appeals holdings, you'd have an evidentiary burden to first overcome the presumption that the controller's certificate is correct in terms of stating the tax liability. However, if you overcome that presumption, the case would then be decided on preponderance of evidence, just as any other case would in the district court. Now, as to the actual proceedings in this case, there is not a current ongoing proceeding with the tax liability from the controller's standpoint in a collection case. We had initially made that counterclaim in the district court and then non-suited it after the court ruled on jurisdiction.
Now, if the sovereign has the right, I mean, this is such a horrible thing to not let people, not force people to pay taxes until after the case has been litigated, wouldn't that be more persuasive if the provision was that the taxpayer had, the taxpayer must pay the taxes it admits it owes before it can go to court to litigate that part it doesn't owe? I mean, the logic of that seems to be we don't want taxpayers to frivolously file lawsuits to avoid paying taxes that harm the state. But clearly the state has no vested interest in collecting improper taxes. So doesn't that argument work if the provision said that taxes undisputed have to be paid before we go to court, but doesn't work if you're saying they got to pay everything the controller says they owe before they can go to court over that portion of the taxes that they claim they don't owe?
Well, they do need to pay the tax under the protest provisions, and certainly that's the procedure which we think would normally be appropriate, since the injunction statutes ought not to be available, since we believe protest provides an adequate remedy at law. In terms of the amount that's going to be paid, that will be according to the controller's assessment. And of course, the taxpayer may contend that they owe nothing at all as to the amount assessed, and may contend that they owe a portion of it. But it would be somewhat different, I think, than the assumption of your question, in that your question, I believe, is dealing more with a kind of local valuation where there would be some issue of opinion as to the value of the property being taxed. In the state tax area, we're almost always dealing with statutory construction. In this particular case is a dispute about sales tax, and so the choices would be between them not owing the additional tax under their theory or owing all of it under ours. So there would be some sort of compromise position. In any event, this court, of course, it held in the Rogers versus Daniel Oil and Royalty case that the protest provisions were an adequate substitute for the original remedy of injunction. That was a method historically by which taxes had been contested in the district courts. The court has also held that payment under protest is the proper procedure, and this was in Bullock v. Amoco. Also, the court had refused the writ in the Dan Engel case, which was one of the cases by which a taxpayer attempted to appeal without having paid the taxes first under protest. Specifically, they were seeking jurisdiction under APTRA. And of course, the court, by refusing the writ, had endorsed the opinion of the Court of Appeals in that case. Again, speaking to the uniqueness of taxes, Your Honors, I would suggest to you, at least in terms of balancing, the considerations that the court took in the Edgewood 3 case. And certainly there, although in quite a different context, we see that taxes are essential to governmental purposes, and that indeed, even in a difficult situation where the tax may be held unconstitutional, the court could nevertheless see the necessary public purpose requiring the taxes collection. And of course, we don't have, again, that sort of drastic circumstance here. But we do have, plainly, a system which, in order to maintain government and its orderly operation, requires, under normal circumstances, prepayment of tax with a protest. Also, as I mentioned to you, taxes are statutory. So as distinct from the case of the TAB versus Air Control Board and Water Commission, we're not dealing really here with a matter of discretion. And again, with reference to local taxes, we're not really dealing with a matter of opinion. When we're talking about state taxes, we're talking about liabilities which are assessed strictly under the terms of the statute. And of course, the doctrine is, on the merits, that taxes are strictly construed against the taxing authority. So we're dealing with an area that plainly does not allow for the kind of wide-ranging possibilities which might cause more concern.
Again, do you have any information concerning the way this issue is handled in other states by statute?
Your Honor, to my knowledge, some sort of protest provision is required in virtually every other jurisdiction. Many of them require that the taxpayer go through some sort of administrative process prior to coming to court, and that would be true even, for instance, if the issue is purely one of constitutional argument or issue where, in fact, the agency may not be able to make a ruling on the constitutionality of the tax. But certainly the protest mechanism is and long has been the basic procedure for challenging any tax.
Do you know if they require complete prepayment?
I do not. Some of them set up a refund provision where, in fact, you would claim through the administrative agency after you've already paid your tax. But I'm sorry, I do not know the full scope of all the different state remedies.
Your opening comments certainly do correctly characterize the concern that at least I have about hearing your argument, how you could explain away the case that just came down in TAB. Do you anticipate any supplemental briefing, since the only briefing we have from the state on this issue is from last fall, long before TAB?
I'd certainly be happy to offer that, Your Honor, and that's one thing that we discussed somewhat, of course, with the relatively short time frame. We felt like we'd have all we could do to just get it together in our minds to some degree, and would look forward and certainly welcome the opportunity to brief it further in a post-submission brief if the court would find that helpful.
Could the legislature prohibit any lawsuit altogether, any judicial review of the comptroller's administrative decision?
I don't think so, Your Honor. And in particular, I think that concern can be seen in a case like Hobby Harrington, where at least under the view the court took of that case, that really, if we're in a situation where the controller is acting genuinely outside his authority, truly ultra vires, that the court would have to find some way to step in. So,
of course, you don't contend that's the circumstance here.
Not at all. They've made that allegation. It's true that the controller was acting ultra vires. And yet, what we have on the merits is a garden variety sales tax dispute regarding what constitutes a sales price. And certainly it's the controller's duty to administer and assess taxes pursuant to the tax code.
Well, there is a line of cases that says that even if judicial review is not provided, if it involves a constitutional claim, that the court has inherent authority to consider the case. What's your view of a rule that would say that any right to judicial review would be limited to a constitutional claim on the merits or an ultra vires action by the comptroller?
In the tax context, that's a difficult one. First of all, Your Honor, I frankly think that the legislature is not likely to do that. I know that doesn't answer your question, but it seems to me that when we're in the tax context, we're dealing with the issues that have been of great concern to the people.
I'm sorry, maybe I misstated the question. I'm not worried about what the legislature would do. I'm worried about what we should do in saying that there is an inherent right to judicial review where the merits of the claim affect the constitutional right on the merits of our communications claim.
Certainly. The inherent right to review, Your Honor, I think applies in a situation where that review is not provided by statute. And I'd refer you back in particular to Rogers versus Daniel Oil Company, where one of the arguments was that given the fact that the court had traditionally looked at tax cases from the equitable standpoint of providing injunctive relief, was it proper for the legislature to establish a protest remedy, which would, in effect, substitute that statutory protest remedy for the equitable injunction? And they said, yes, that was proper, because certainly all of these constitutional issues can be and often are raised through the protest mechanism.
So it is your contention that the legislature could totally eliminate judicial review in these kinds of cases?
No, I don't believe that in passing the protest remedy they've done that. But certainly they provided for judicial review under the statutory framework, and indeed it's a de novo review. It's not even substantial evidence. So that the review just needs to be there at some point. The question of the particular procedure or mechanism is something else again. So in this case, we absolutely have review provided for, and indeed in a proper case, if injunctive relief is truly proper, we have that provided for as well upon giving of adequate security, either payment of the taxes or posting of a bond. So both the legal and injunctive remedies are there, and either of those could be used to raise constitutional issues. And, of course, the collection suit is also available. If the Comptroller, through the Attorney General, files a suit to collect taxes, then constitutional issues can be raised there as well. So it's really not necessary for us to look at inherent right of review when we have these specified statutory rights of review.
Unless you can't pay the taxes or post a bond.
Well, that's...
And that's what we're talking about. Is there an inherent right of judicial review based on a constitutional claim where you can't get into court under the legislative procedures, prepayment, for posting of a bond?
I don't think there would be, Your Honor, because, again, we're dealing with what are the requirements for getting in. And in our situation, we think it's not an unreasonable restriction to require prepayment of the tax in ordinary circumstances because of the importance of those matters.
So the legislature could absolutely bar judicial review of tax liability, in
no,
your opinion?
I don't believe that they could do that, and I don't believe that they have done that, because the difference is between the circumstances of our communication and taking them as true, as I think we must. If they are prohibited simply by their circumstances, by not having the money, that is unfortunate, certainly, but it should not be the sort of thing that affects their constitutional rights or, in turn, can affect this court's view of the validity of the statutes as a whole.
But it does, in fact, bar them from seeking judicial review because they don't have the money to prepay the deficiency. So, in effect, you're asking us to sanction an open court provision of our state constitution. The fact that we have an impossible condition here to meet in order to get judicial review. They don't have the money to prepay the deficiency. And you say, because of the interest the state has in the flow of funds and predictability in terms of budgets, it's just too bad. I mean, we just have to, when we weigh the rights of the individual who cannot prepay taxes versus the rights of government to have a source of revenue, you say we ought to balance that in favor of government. Is that the long and short of it?
That's part of the argument, Your Honor. But again, I suggest to you that in the collection suit, they also have that opportunity. It's true.
What defenses can they raise in a collection suit?
They could raise any defenses on the merits that they would have available to bring as plaintiffs under the protest provision.
The only reason to do the protest is to cut, is to limit the liability as to interest and penalties in the event you lose. That's the only procedural advantage.
That and the fact that the controller has also summary collection procedures. So if the liability is established, you would run the risk of seizure and sale of property to satisfy that liability.
Which is no problem if you're truly in.
Right. And in practice, of course, most of our collection cases are default judgments.
In your supplemental briefing that you're going to do for the court, would you cite any other jurisdiction or state-by-state analysis to see whether or not they picked up the Kesson and the McKesson rationale?
Certainly will, Your Honor.
Can you have that brief within 10 days?
Yes, I will. Again, Your Honors, I believe that the tax situation is distinctive because, and in particular, vis-a-vis the environmental cases, there's not a waiver. There's not a waiver of the right to judicial review. All you do is risk the chance of coming in as a defendant. And again, in terms of the interest, involved, I'd suggest that we also should look in terms of the way that taxation has always been administered and the tax procedures have existed, because we're dealing here not with a change of expectations. We're dealing with, in fact, a system that's existed for many, many years in terms of either requiring a prepayment, going back to the 30s with the Rogers case, or in terms of requiring some kind of security for injunctive relief. In fact, I'd cite to you...
Raise the question. Sorry to interrupt you. The controller has some summary collection procedures.
Yes.
Does the controller have to go to court to impose that?
No.
The fact that our communications files a lawsuit, does that in and of itself prohibit the controller from exercising its summary collection procedures?
I don't believe that it would, Your Honor.
If our communications ask the district court to enjoin the controller from exercising its summary collection procedures, would our communications have to give a bond for that injunction?
Yes, it would.
Then what does that do to your argument that we should not let citizens who are protesting taxes go to court before they pay their taxes because the state otherwise needs the taxes? Why can't the controller exercise its summary collection procedures if the plaintiff wants to stop them, they've got to have an injunction, the discretion of the trial court to set the bond covers the taxes. I mean, why didn't that accomplish the same thing without impacting the individual's right to go to court to contest the taxes?
Your Honor, frankly, I think the difficulty would be more of a practical one, because if we take, for instance, the approach that the court took in the environmental case of saying that the conditioning of judicial review on prepayment is unconstitutional, but the requirement of prompt payment is not, then let's look at the circumstances of one of our district judges here in Travis County. It's going to be very difficult for them, I think, to allow a summary collection procedure if this court says that, in fact, it's all right to challenge the liability on the merits without having to pay anything up front. It's a very, very difficult thing for any district judge to accept those kind of harsh measures, and of course they are harsh, and yet be told that the person can contest completely any disagreement they have about the liability without having any responsibility to prepay the money.
You're saying the trial judge would set a low bond?
I think it would be difficult not to, Your Honor, assuming, of course, as we must assume, that the plaintiff is being accurate and truthful about the allegations of not having the money to pay or the money to post a bond of their own and the amount required by the tax code.
But if it's based on the likelihood of, if the injunction is based, as it should be, on the likelihood of success at the trial of the case, then it ought to be a low bond, shouldn't it?
No, it really should be an amount that's sufficient to secure the state, because that's the way the Tax Injunction Act is read, and that's the way I think that a court ought to approach an injunction against a collection of money. In fact, I refer you to Rule 691, where if there is a collection action contemplated and there's been a temporary injunction, then the court can ask for a bond of double the amount from the person seeking to collect, if they go ahead and collect.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Sure.
That concludes the argument in this morning's causes. These causes are submitted on briefs and oral arguments. The counsel will please adjourn the court.
United States,
please rise.
Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned, subject to call.